Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to South Podcast, episode 393, Big and Y'all Store.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! I'm Fuzz Wolf.
I'm Saverin.
And I'm Shiva.
And we're Big and Y'all.
Yeah.
For sure.
So Texan, it hurts.
True. Explain that to people that don't follow me on Twitter. In an autocorrect today, I texted my sister and I told her that I went to the Big and Tall Store and I didn't even notice. And she goes, lol, that is an amazing autocorrect fail. And I was like, what? And I went and looked and I had typed Big and Y'all Store. Or my phone had typed Big and Y'all Store. So I was like,
that's a Texas Big and Tall Store.
And I was like, it's for fat farmers. And she laughed at that. And I put it out on Twitter. And I got a couple of funny comments, like somebody was like, oh, location-aware autocorrecting. And someone else was like, they must know you're in Texas. It's like, yep.
All right. Well, howdy, howdy, howdy.
Oh, another thing that amused me was we got an email because I work in one of the buildings around downtown. It's nearby the Sheraton. Next weekend, Anime Fest is at the Sheraton. So by the way, Saverin, that's next weekend if you're going to A-Fest or not. I guess you don't really have a reason to.
I really don't.
I mean, you don't have to go to promote Nightmare Nights, but I mean, you could go if you just wanted to go to a con that's smaller than A-Con.
Yeah, true.
Pick up any anime.
Because I didn't go to A-Con this year at all.
Because it's all the way out in Fort Worth, so this would just be downtown.
Like, literally take the train.
Yeah, get off on Pearl Street station.
It's nice and convenient for anybody that lives near a train station, or hell, you can get to a train station.
I was like, oh, well, maybe I will. Oh, shit. Next week I'm on call again.
Oh.
Yeah, which means I don't go far from the house.
Right.
So it's not this weekend, but next weekend, because this weekend we have a board meeting and it's a Pokemon Go community gay. Community gay.
Well, and this week I'm on backup, which is only if the dude can't pick it up or whatever. I'm his backup.
And next weekend I'll actually be out of town anyway. I'll be at Worldcon.
Next weekend.
We can do the show, though, because I don't fly out till Friday night.
Cool.
Because I couldn't get Thursday off, and I'm low on PTO, but Tyr and Buck and Zia will all be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I was like, well, I'll work all week, fly out Friday night, and stay till Tuesday, because Buck and Tyr have to fly home on Monday.
Making it work.
Partially because PTO, and partially because Tyr's going to Denver the following weekend.
Christ, it's that close, huh?
Yeah.
So
funny enough, I'll be in Denver area like two weekends after Denver.
Okay.
That's just lines up with Labor Day, so
that's right. Yeah,
I still need to.
Well, that's one weekend after Denver.
That's proving to be a difficult trip to plan because so much that we want to do is outdoors, and if the weather's shit, well,
you're out of luck.
Right.
Yeah, so we're playing it real loose, and we kind of decided that we want to stay between Colorado Springs, which is, I guess, like an hour and a half from Denver. Denver area. There's some of the national parks out there that we wanted to go see.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've talked about the dark sky. We were thinking about maybe driving up Pikes Peak.
Mm-hmm.
But all that, there's so much that's weather dependent. And if it's like pouring or something, you know, can't really get out of the car and do much. We could still do some pretty drives.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like we're going to do this on this day and this on this day and this on this day. It's kind of like, you've just got to figure out some backup plans.
My in-laws live out there. They have a really nice house in a subdivision that's not completely built. So they have like a lot of open land around them and they have like a really nice view of the peak from their backyard, I think it is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So is Taryn really familiar with Denver in the area?
No. Well, he was four when the family moved from that area out here where he grew up. And his parents retired last year, the year before, and moved back home, basically. So all Tyrion knows is up to the age of four, and then whenever he's been out there for Rocky Mountain Fur Con after that. So
I guess any of our listeners know the area, I'm more than welcome to, more than eager to get suggestions for things to do, places to eat, you know, all that fun stuff, just so that got something to do while out there.
There's a shitload of furries in the Denver, Colorado Springs area.
I just know none of them these days. I used to know a couple of people that lived out there, but I've lost contact, or they're no longer in the area, and I don't know how to. I'll see them pop up, but I don't talk to them regularly anymore.
So last weekend was Evo.
Yeah.
And I opened with that. And our boy Sonic Fox won, as I'm sure anybody that follows me on Twitter, anybody follows
me on Twitter. On Twitter. Even though I don't do gaming stuff,
I don't either.
Totally like stoked, but retweeting and shit.
Like Sarah tuned into it, and then Siam walked in.
I watched the last match too.
And you know, suddenly my whole household that doesn't follow any of this is watching this furry, you know, win. It looked like a really cool game, but
it's hard to follow. But yeah, it looks really cool, and that's the whole point. And that was like, so that final round finals was the largest viewed thing on Evo yet.
Cool.
Like 262,000 people watching, which is no small amount of people on the internet.
Yeah.
And
Sonic gained like 10,000 followers
in a week. Actually, more than that at this point, but yeah,
it is.
He got glowing
because he had less than 70,000, and he was like, "Oh, hey, I got 70,000." He's like, "Oh, wow!" Yeah, and then like a day later, he's like 80 something.
Yeah, I loved his tweet. I'm gay, and I'm also the best. Blah 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 blah. You know, it's like, you rock, dude.
So that was really cool to see. I mean, it's like with him and Bucktown doing really well, you know, even if we aren't like super on, oh, we got to watch this, people will go out of their way like, oh, there's a furry winning and they're doing really good. And, you know, Bucktown did well and earned a lot of money just being smart as hell. And Sonic Fox won himself a little bit of money because, like, even winning Evo, it's like only like $15,000.
Really? Well,
and for Bucktown, we got to keep an eye on Jeopardy because he might come back for that tournament of champions, too.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And yeah, being a big old gay furry who is super lefty, too, he's like, some guy was like, oh, don't politicize his win. He's like,
stop trying to claim Sonic Fox for the fascist left. And Sonic Fox was like, I'm totally part of the fascist left. Lol, left and fascist? What the fuck? So, yeah. He's one of ours. Sorry, you can't have him. He's doing good representation for furries, gays, people of color, lefties.
Fighting game community. Like, he is on point for a lot of things right now, which is a lot to put on the shoulders of someone only 20 years old, but he seems to be doing all right.
And the thing that's cool is that I don't think he's doing any of it deliberately, like with a plan, you know? He's just being himself, and that's awesome.
And like when he had his ESPN interview, he was just like, look, I'm out here being myself and unapologetic about it.
Was that when he was interviewed by the reporter, the Wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wolf and Sonic Fox, yeah.
Yeah, and the headline was Wolf interviews Fox.
And it's funny,
was it Wolf Spicer or whatever his name is?
No, not Wolf Blitzer. He's on CNN. It was someone whose last name was Wolf, and I don't remember his first name.
And it's funny because that guy has changed his header to the photo of him sitting across from Sonic Fox.
That's cool.
It's like, yeah, this is the biggest thing I've been interviewed in for a while.
Thinking of like people that are sort of like intersect the fandom from the mainstream. I don't remember if we ever touched on this, but there was a guy who's a lawyer who, his name's Boozy. You might have heard. No, this is another guy. I don't know if he's a lawyer or a reporter, but he specializes in the freedom of information. And he put in a freedom of information request to the FBI on the furry fandom to see if like the FBI has a file on us as a community or anything. And he got the results back, and there is no file. The FBI is not keeping tabs on the furry fandom. But a couple of people asked him to do a follow-up to see if the FBI had a file on the chlorine gas attack at Midwest from a couple of years ago. So he's put in a Freedom of Information Act request for that. And I think he's still waiting on information back. So and he, like, when he put out the furry thing, like, you know, people are like, oh, they're going to make you a furry now. And he's like, fine, my favorite animal is this. I think it's manatee. And Tieran Poke Donryu, a furry artist that we know, who drew him an icon as a manatee reporter with, like, the reporter hat. and he changed it to his icon.
Nice.
So his current icon right now is drawn by Donryu.
Like a hat with, like, the little press card stuck in it?
I think so,
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
There was another one I saw that was like, yo, can we have more queer furries winning and less gamers saying the N-word?
yeah, totally.
And other people being like, yo, I'm going to be a furry now. Is that cool? And then the replies are like, so what's your favorite animal? Kangaroo. We got you, fam. Like, furries coming up and be like, oh, you want your first persona? First one's free.
Yeah, it's, I think I saw something. It was like, the year is 2025. Fursonas are mandatory.
Come on, get with the program.
In fact, if you want to compete at Evo, you have to have a fursona.
Yeah, it's like, none of this hard boy, look at you, growly face. No, you got to have a fursona. And you have to have yourself a partial, and you have to have gaming paws, which Sonic Fox just got, his gaming paws.
This is a special paws, like regular paws from the top, but they leave his fingers free on the underside. So
yeah, it's kind of like Bucktown's playing paws.
Yeah, this looks a little different, though. Like how Bucktown plays the piano is fucking amazing, because he still has, like, fluffy fingers in his paws. So he's still basically playing the piano with fursuit paws.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic's are more like they leave his whole hand free on the underside so that he can use a video game controller while wearing paws. And I think Evo needs to institute a new rule, because I noticed that the chairs they were using were not tail friendly.
Yeah.
So they need to have, and like his blue fox tail was kind of hunched
off to the side.
Off to the side, yeah. I noticed he was wearing it while he was competing in the final match there.
Yep. I mean, the only thing he didn't have on was his gloves and his hat. His
head. He's like, it's a fursuit. It's not a wolf helmet. You know, a wolf helmet, that's what I call the tip of my cock.
Also, in super important gaming news, horse balls have been confirmed for Red Dead Redemption 2.
I have no idea what that means.
It is a Red
Dead. Is horse fall sort of like whale fall when, like, a horse dies?
Balls.
Testicles. Oh.
Horse
testicles. I thought you said horse fall. And I was like, it's like whale fall where, like, well, a horse dies and then, like, all these other species set up colonies in the decomposing corpse.
No fuss.
Because we just leave decomposing horses in fields.
Well, we're talking,
you know, about whale
game.
Fall, right? Whale
I
fall.
Was thinking whale fall, like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No, oh, I don't know what that is. This is so last. Let me sidestep. Last year, during her Hugo acceptance speech for the best short story Hugo Award, Ursula Verhoeven didn't really expect to win, but so she had this story. And she basically, her Hugo speech is about whale fall, which is this real life natural phenomenon that when a whale dies in the ocean, its body sinks to the bottom. And then this whole ecology happens as it decomposes. There are, like, species that feed on the decomposing body, and there are species that, like, live inside it. And basically a whale corpse is massive, and it forms this whole ecosystem in the deeps of the ocean. And it's called whale fall. It's actually really interesting. So she spent, like, her Hugo acceptance speech was 10 minutes talking about whale fall. Mm-hmm. And then like, there was one of the sci-fi online magazines, I think it was actually Barnes & Noble, they do one called BN Buzz, liked the speech so much that they actually put it on their website, like a transcription of it, which funny enough, I think would also make her Hugo acceptance speech eligible for a Hugo Award next year.
Nice. No, mine is actually about horse testicles being present and modeled in a video game.
Okay.
The Red Dead Redemption series is a Wild West open world adventure series where you're playing a set character on a storyline, but you're set out in the Wild West to go and do shit.
Uh-huh. So there's CG horses.
Yes, they rendered and gave physics to horse testicles on the horse models in this game.
So have they always had balls? Or
nope, have full this physics? Is the first time.
Wow, okay.
There's some dev out there that had to sit there
and model testicles.
Yeah, the gravity and physics that belong to these
it
orbs.
It was probably a fairly easy task, and it's just like, you know what, sure, why not? You know, I'm not going to be doing animations on bandits today. I'm just going to fucking do a horse nutsack. It's an easy day today.
I really prefer to think that this poor dev had to spend hours watching videos or going to farms and having like close up slow motion video of horse testicles as horses gallop around.
In the initial reveal trailer, like they pan up from the ground and it passes the backside of the horse and there's rendered horse nuts and it goes up to this group of cowboys on the horses. But I just want to say there's just slow pans up. And I guess people would notice if like, you know, they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was just this feature, and I'm saying those quotation fingers, that people noticed.
Because they're big and in your face.
And they were like, oh, okay. Are these going to make it to the final game? And the answer is yes, apparently.
Like, why the fuck would they go to all the trouble of making them for the trailer and not put them in the game?
Exactly. Man? You know. No, man, we're going to have some testicle fidelity here.
Will there be, like, achievements? Like, can you get hats for your horse balls?
You know. Are there various classes of horses? Are there going to be, like, geldings that, you know, have different stats? Are there mares? I mean, there's some important
gaming. Yeah, because Saverin, you know, the next step is horse pussy.
You know, video games, man.
The large contingent of bronies that start to play this game.
Oh, God.
So speaking of bronies.
Exactly. We're going to chain into this one.
A friend of ours, Jade, she's on the con staff for Anthrocon, bunch of different, been a furry forever. Brony also, she con chaired one of the Western ones.
One year was of BabsCon.
BabsCon, right. Well, she has the original Doctor Who's fursuit made by Sophie Cabra, and she had him in a duffel bag in her car, and her car was broken into, and the duffel bag was stolen. I guess somebody thought maybe there's something valuable in this bulky-looking duffel bag.
Imagine their surprise when they got it away and unzipped it. What the fuck is this?
And so there was this whole thing like, fuck, the fursuit's been stolen. Will I ever get it back? And then it turns out a couple days later, so apparently the thieves didn't know what to do with him, so he was found in a dumpster and retrieved. Luckily, the trash pickup was late that day. And this is all on her Twitter account. And the detective working her case basically had the fursuit in it. The fursuit is going to need about a grand of repair work, but is otherwise fine. And what's cool is that her insurance company, which is her renter's insurance, because it covered her vehicle and its contents also. She sued USAA. Insurance. They were going to cover the cost of replacing the suit, and like she screen capped like the email from her insurance agent, and they were talking about, well, go to the maker of the costume and get an estimate for replacement and stuff like that. So whatever it costs her to have him repaired will be covered by her insurance, which is super cool. And I'm actually really happy for her that she got her suit back. Because from what I understand, especially in the brony community, this is an iconic suit.
Yeah, and she only made so many. Good handful of pony suits. And nobody else really took up the mantle after she stopped.
Yeah, I know she did the main six and Doctor Who's and a couple of others. Derpy, I think.
She did a Derpy, she did a Gilda, she did a Vinyl Scratch, I think.
Yeah.
He did about 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sold and went real well, but, you know, then she stopped.
Right, yeah.
So things changed, and she stopped doing pony stuff, whatever.
Well, she was a furry before that. Oh, yeah. Still a furry. So.
And still doing stuff. But yeah, that was really cool that USAA would have totally covered that for her. And it's like, oh, you know, get a quote for how much it would cost to get a new one. And, you know, I'll say what I said at dinner, Fuzz. It's like, you know, this could have been an opportunity for her to get a fursuit that wasn't Doctor Who's. You know, the one modeled after her fursona.
I don't know if I realized that she was a Fennec. I knew her OC was a fox.
Yep.
Or fursona, rather, not OC. Yeah. Hear me using brony terms here.
Oh, no.
Because there's been other suits stolen that never got recovered.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, like, they're in totes in the backs of cars. People are like, oh, shit, there could be tools in there. There could be...
computer stuff.
Yeah, or electronics equipment. I mean...
we have a massive tote in our garage that is labeled computer equipment, and it is just full of air pockets and shipping paper. So if anyone ever breaks into our house and is like, ooh, computer equipment, why is this so light? They're going to get an unwelcome surprise. It's like, you have stolen the value of a tote. And a bunch of probably deflating air pockets.
Oh no, your air pockets.
We haven't opened it in like a couple of years, probably. But we never have to pay for the packing material. We have to pay for boxes and envelopes and chipboard. But we never have to pay for air pockets and packing paper, because when we order all of our books, they're stuffed with so much packing material already that, you know, we keep what we have space for on hand, and we've got too much of it all the time anyway, so it kind of works out well that way. Hey, it's recycling, right? You know, turn around and reuse this shit to ship customer orders with.
Hey, Christmas time, I like about this time I start saving all the packing material from Amazon boxes, and then come Christmas time when I ship out the cookies and other stuff, it all gets reused and the rest gets discarded and we start again afresh.
Nice.
So Tieran's family has this tradition of putting a present in a box inside a larger box that is full of, that has some pieces of loose Lego in it, which is sometimes placed in another box. So like when they were kids growing up, he and his brother picked up the packages and shook it, they would hear all this loose Lego going around. And then, like, three layers in, you get to the actual gift.
I've seen that, but not the Lego part, just box in a box in a box in a box.
His family is very obsessed with Legos. There was a point where his mom was building, like, a big-ass train station thing out of Lego. And there was this one particular type of brick that I think she needed for like the roof slate or something. And like you only get two or four per thing. But there was like a 1-800 number. This was before like you could go to the Lego website and order it. But there was this like 1-800 number and she would call in and order like X number of these pieces when she was building a new building. And it got to the point where she was calling in so often that she would get the same operator who recognized her voice and knew what part number she was ordering.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. And they still give us Legos in our stockings every year.
Nice. So in other news, maybe don't use Howler.
Yeah. What was that all about?
So one of the devs is a scumbag. And then slightly thereafter, they also realized, holy shit, the furry fandom gave this dev, who is a furry, sure, they're basically their information. It's like, one dev's not great, but also he has threatened to use private information that they have acquired to potentially dox another individual. This is something that Dio retweeted, and there will be a link in the show notes to the tweet. But basically, it's like, goes down to people have handed over their information to these people, other people in the fandom, who then can use it for potentially nefarious ends. Yes, that would violate many, like, information use laws if someone was to do so, but that still means that a group of furries that are not beholden to a larger corporate structure have your information that you've given them. I mean, yeah, I personally wouldn't use Howler, nor would I use Grindr or any similar app, because that's not how I roll. But at least when you're dealing with a larger app like that, like Grindr, there's probably less chance that the dev's going to be a vindictive furry and try to do anything potentially nefarious.
And hopefully a site like Grindr has some robust security. Not saying that Howler doesn't, but they're being a much smaller company. They probably don't have the budget and infrastructure to have the really high-end security that something like Grindr or Growler would.
Yeah, and again, I wouldn't use this, but it was like, oh, I don't pay any attention to this app. Huh, one of the devs is publicly posting about being a zoophile and being like, lol, what's the big deal about it? And then the larger, bigger red flag, I mean, that's a red flag on its own, but the bigger one being, oh, this person has also threatened to use information to dox people in the past, and he's a developer for this application. Whoa.
They're not the same person, right? It was the other guy that was like their PR head that said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and their PR guy was like being wild in DMs. Like, yo, don't go posting crazy threatening DMs to people because that's going to get screen capped and shared.
Yeah.
It's like, it's never going to work out well for you. Don't do that.
Don't send anything to anybody that you wouldn't be comfortable with the whole world reading.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it'll come out eventually. I mean, you only really have to look at politics nowadays to see that, like, all these emails being released. And, like, even with Trump right now, like, there's all these emails and conversations that his lawyer recorded are coming out and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, don't be nefarious.
Yeah, don't.
Don't threaten people.
Like, you really have to think about, like, anything you post nowadays can show up elsewhere, be it on Twitter or Facebook or whatnot. Like, it can be screen capped. It can be thrown back in your face years and years. We've seen this happen with Twitter and a lot of people catching shit. James Gunn and that Sarah Jeong woman who got hired to the New York Times.
Right.
Where people go back, oh, they said things a while back.
And know. Even things that they've already, you know, apologized for coming back again.
That's the thing that really pisses me off about the James Gunn situation is if you say or do shitty things years and then years later, like, you apologize for that, you retract those statements, you don't stand by them, and you've proven that you've moved on and become a better person, then that's okay. Like, you can do shitty things when you're younger and then atone for them. And these tweets he made had already become public, like, years after he made them, and he'd addressed them. And Disney had to know that shit before they even hired him for the first film that he worked on for them. But because it was brought up again and mass reported by this right-wing group, Disney caved and instantly fired him.
And now all the actors are kind of like, yo, I'm on this contractually, but I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, like Dave Bautista has been really speaking out about this, and he's really been the driving force. Like, he was the one that organized the letter that the whole cast signed together to reinstate him and stuff like that. But yeah, Dave Bautista is like a really solid guy, not just physically, because
he is a solid wall of a person.
I was going to say he and The Rock are both pretty solid as individuals, and physically they are entirely made of muscle.
Yes. Nothing gets past him. His reflexes are too good. Twitter is a hell site, and leaving old ass tweets up will bite you eventually. I just went and purged all of 2017's tweets. It's like, not that I said anything necessarily like I wouldn't stand by, but it's like, you know what? Just trim them out. I might have lost one or two tweets that went really well. And
part of me is like, it sucks if like a tweet I made 5 years ago went really viral or whatever and was got a lot of likes or whatever. But then I'm like, I'm never going to look at that again. And I'm not going to remember it, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't remember half the shit I've said on Twitter.
I remembered I got a like on a post that I made, like, 2 years ago that was an attributed wildlife photo of, like, a bird looking directly at the camera while an eagle flies in with its mouth open from the other side of the screen. And it's, like, record scratch, you know? I'm wondering how I got into this situation.
Right, you know? Yeah.
But it was just like, you know what, just go and purge some tweets. And even then, that wasn't good enough because I got a little bap on the wrist today.
Oh, yeah.
So back in April of this year, I tweeted, be good, have fun, fire TERFs into the sun. Because TERFs fucking suck. TERFs being trans-exclusionary rad femmes. and they're the people that are just infinitely shitty to trans people of all stripes and work very closely with the alt-right and Christian conservatives in the UK and the United States because they all hate trans people equally and are shit because of it. But unfortunately, these people also have botnets and reporting circles, so anything that even is remotely negative towards them, they will mass report. And so for that extremely innocuous slogan of a thing that can't happen until Elon Musk decides to start strapping shitheads to rockets, I had to delete a tweet. Then, of course, I did the what you should do with these kind of dumb things whenever you get suspended for something ridiculous is screen cap it and then call Twitter a bunch of conservative fuckwits and get 10 times the engagement the original tweet ever got. And that's worked out real well. You know, yeah. It escaped out into fucking normie Twitter.
Because they can't search images.
Yeah.
With these botnets. Yeah.
You know, the OCR ain't that good. But it's just like, what the fuck? These people are so weak that they're like, oh, you know, how dare they? I'm going to mass report this. And it's not even like I got a timeout. I just a little tap on the wrist and say, hey, delete this tweet. All right. Whatever. Now I'm going to Streisand effect this bitch. You know, Twitter, being the hell site that it is, you know, they'll bat me on the wrist for that. They'll suspend people for calling someone a honky, but they won't handle Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones has had a very bad week.
And apparently CNN did like a fucking deep dive analysis of his whole Twitter feed and found all this shit that's really fucked up. But Twitter still won't suspend him.
Yeah, he's got a check mark. He can do no wrong. But he did get removed from like iTunes and Google Play and Facebook and all these other websites. Hell, even YouPorn was like, YouTube deleted his 2-point-something million follower account and is not giving it back. He's been hit really hard, but the one fucking website that didn't do anything to him was Twitter. And Jack Dorsey was out there. The CEO of Twitter was like,
he was on Fox News.
He was on Sean Hannity or something like that. Yeah. He was on some Fox News fucker defending the choice not to do it. I mean, obviously, this is extremely obvious where his loyalties lie, where his political leaning is. Twitter is awful, and you know why they're protecting the Nazis, because Jack is one of them. Even if he's not actively out there with the alt-right, he's providing the material assistance.
I mean, if a fucking Tech Valley bro is that much of a shithead, his political leaning is he's probably a libertarian, and he's probably doing this centrism, both sides horseshit.
Yeah, but I, you know, got booped for a slogan, and this guy is calling for drag queens to get burned to death, you know, and I had somebody reply to me, he's like, yeah, well, Alex Jones said this and got kicked off of the burning drag queens to death. And got kicked off of things, so it's only fair. And I'm like, only one of these two things can actually happen.
Right, yeah. We were talking about this before we started. Like, I mean, Alex Jones started the whole, used to say really crazy shit. Like, he started the Pizzagate conspiracy, saying that there was a pedophile ring underneath a pizza restaurant. And his followers are crazy enough that a guy actually went into this pizza restaurant with a gun. And now he said something that's actually even more plausible. Like, you should throw gasoline on drag queens and light them on fire. And I'm like, that's something that a lot more people could actually do. And that's a direct threat to a specific group of people. So, yeah, Facebook and YouTube pulled them off their platforms. And I'm like, how is Twitter? Twitter is really amazing to somehow be a less ethical company than Facebook. I mean, that takes some fucking skill.
That's some talent. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the whole thing started in a way for him to rate women, and yet somehow Twitter is still worse. You know, he says all this dumb shit, and everyone's like doing the fucking Martin Niemöller, first they came for bullshit. It's like, you know who they were, right?
Yeah.
The fucking Nazis, the you people, right? You know, first they came for Alex Jones, and I didn't give a shit because I wasn't a reactionary fuckface threatening death to people.
And then they didn't come for me because I wasn't being an asshole on Twitter.
Exactly.
Speaking of saying shit online that you shouldn't say, going into this gay Will situation.
Oh, God, yeah.
So this idiot posted, question
to our legal advice.
Yeah, which is a subreddit, basically saying, so my gay brother died of cancer, and in his will, he left money to his partner. And we, as a family, are very religious, and we loved our brother, but we felt that, like, we shouldn't give his gay partner any of the money, and we should keep all the money in the family. But his partner somehow has found the will. Yeah, probably because your brother gave him a copy of it, dipshit, which, you know, your spouse or partner should always have a copy of your fucking will. Well, so of course, they tried to pay him off with like a small fraction of it. And it's like, that's not even the point at this point, you know? And like, people were pointing out, well, now you guys are on the hook for probably contempt of the probate court, and the executor of the will, the sister, is probably in deep shit, because even if it was suggested to her by the other brother, name as the executor on all of the stuff that went to the probate court. What was the actual tweet? It was just like, oh, you just admitted to stealing money on the internet. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. So they're basically like, we're grieving, and now this man wants to take us to court. And it's like, so things you can worry about. To be sued for the value of everything that was detailed to him in the will, you will certainly lose. Punitive damages. Don't be surprised if they go for triple. He'll also be on the hook for attorney fees. And if the value was greater than $1,200, then the sister could, in theory, be charged with felony theft / conversion /
Which it was, because it was like $400,000.
No, it was something like, it was nearly $1,000,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it looks like OP convinced his sister to, quote, honor the family's wishes and renege on the will's distribution agreement of the $850,000. Don't think they'll have to worry about employment prospects when they're in jail. And yeah, it's like, you stole his money that was left to him. You have no right to override your brother's will, and you had no right to use any of that money for a funeral unless that was stated in the will.
And the original reason for posting this to / Legal was, how can we avoid this going to court? And some of the responses were like, it's a will. You're already dealing with the probate court. He's suing you. There's no way you're not going to court.
This is already in the court system, and you made this post that is now going to be used against you in the court. Oh, it's really impressive. And this kind of shit happens all the time, like with gay people.
Yeah.
Like, they ignore the will and have to fight. It's like, oh, well, it's not like you're really married. Or further in the thread, I think Shiva said, you said that they might have taken the post down, but the screen caps that I have that Chip Fox posted was like,
oh, I know, and I could find a deleted thread. Just saying that dude tried to cut and run.
People are not going to let him.
Our family's religious, and yes, we may have not have approved of it, but we still loved our brother.
But not the partner.
The highlighted quote is like, he unfortunately died of cancer and left a will, left most of the money to his gay partner. They weren't even married. We decided the money to be kept within the family, but give his partner some money. And like, further in, they like had distributed the money to various members of the family who'd spent most of it at this point. So everybody is going to get slapped so hard.
Yeah, and that whole thing of, we loved our brother, but we don't approve of his lifestyle, or, you know, we don't recognize his partner. And
they repeatedly called him his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, fuck that. That's not, you're not really loving your brother.
I mean, they were together for 8 fucking years. They were best friends.
It wasn't a phase, you know?
Your friend who lives in your house and sleeps in your bed and does all your stuff for you, and they have sex. Just a buddy. Just gals being pals. Dudes being dudes.
You know, and even if a person died and they left in their will to some complete fucking stranger, you still don't get to
override
their wishes.
It's a legal document.
You know, if he had died and left all of his fucking money to the Humane Society or something like that, they would have still been pissed about not getting the $850,000, but I mean, no, you can't fucking do anything about that. Sorry.
And so, basically, have a will. That's the big kicker to all this.
If you're
in a relationship, you're an adult, and there are assets, have a will so that you know where things should be distributed when you go.
Mm-hmm.
Because just handing it off to your family, especially if you're a queer person, it could not go well.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, because it's like this. Oh, we decided to keep the money in the family despite the legal documents stating otherwise. Right. Because, like, with a will, you have to, like, get that shit notarized by a notary public and all this other nonsense. It's a filed document.
Yeah.
You know, and you put a copy in your fucking safe deposit box and give a copy to your friend or your partner or both, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, having multiple copies of a will is not a bad thing, really.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like, we're all old enough that we should have a will. Like, I have a will. I had one drawn up when I was having my weight loss surgery.
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah, because, like, it's a major surgery.
Yeah, I had a will that was
nowadays, you'd never know.
My will is essentially, like, Panther gets whatever, sell and make money from whatever you can, give some money to my parents, and then, you know, have fun.
Right.
Because I don't have a lot of assets, but I'd be like, yo, donate all my pony shit to a convention and for charity, you know?
Yeah. Shit that Panther's not going to need cluttering up his life if something happens. Yeah,
exactly. And, like,
I say that, but I still have all my mom's, like, Neil Diamond stuff. Like, not just the records and the CDs. You know, I've got, like all of her, like, news clippings that she kept and stuff like that. And I'm like,
I don't think Panther would keep my Funko horses around.
Yeah, I'm just sort of saying, I just haven't, part of it is that I haven't bothered. And then I'm like, I guess I probably could emotionally handle going through her stuff now. I mean, it's been 7 years, but I just haven't done it.
But yeah, that's the important thing. And, like, it's documents you can pull off the net. Mm-hmm. And, like, I also had a medical power of attorney drawn up for Panther.
Yeah, so he could make medical decisions if you were in a coma or something.
Or I was just like, look, if I'm a potato, put me in the ground.
You could let me grow. Wait, it doesn't work like that. Never mind.
Yeah, you know. I want you to cremate body and fire him out of a cannon at Alex Jones.
Actually, wait, isn't that what Hunter Thompson wanted?
Yeah, he had his ashes? Remains fired out of a cannon across the Grand Canyon or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds cool.
Sure.
Never got to jump the Grand Canyon in life. I'll do it in death.
Yeah, makes sense. Gene Roddenberry and Scotty
got
their ashes sent into space. Yeah, which is super appropriate for what they were known for in life.
So one more week until WoW's expansion launches.
Yep. Every sub we've been rating.
You fell off the wagon, right?
Yep.
She's back into it. So how about that Battle of Lordaeron, huh?
Sorry, I have to say something before you guys go into WoW. This, because I saw this on the internet the other day. It was like, the reason that they won't make a playable insectoid race in WoW is because no one will want to go on a raid.
It's some bug-on-bug violence.
Raid! Anyway, go ahead.
I'll explode.
Y'all talk about your craziness.
Well, this is, again, me as an outsider, because I'm not playing it currently. I've stated multiple times that if they make the Volpera, the fox people, the Fennec people specifically, a playable race, I will resub, but probably not until then. I'll just observe the train wreck from afar, and via you and Sero.
Sero has opinions.
And so Jaina and her magical floating boat.
I need to send you a link. Did you see the one where it got put to
the immigrant song?
The foreigner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
The song in question, the immigrant song, is like, we come from the land and the ice and snow and, you know, hammer the gods and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We come to fight the horde. Because Jaina comes flying in on her dad's resurrected boat that she's floating in the air, and she does some whack-ass Elsa tier ice magic to freeze out the blight, and then arcane cannons the walls down for, like, the next phase. And someone synced it to that song, and it was fantastic. But she just shows up out of, I would say shows up out of nowhere, because I don't have an alliance character. Well, A, I haven't done the scenarios, and B, I don't have an alliance character that's high enough to even do the scenarios if I wanted to do them. So I don't know where Jaina comes into the whole thing.
She just appears out of nowhere. See, I do have alliance characters. I didn't play them less X-Pack, so they weren't at cap. So I used my boost to just boost up an alliance character so I could play those scenarios.
So,
but I got it when I got the X-Pack, so meh.
So real quick, I asked Tyrion over Telegram if he was going to resub when the new expansion comes out. And he's like, maybe, because it costs him nothing to play, because he has enough gold. So he's like, so maybe? question mark, but I mean, clearly he's not like
chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
And again, if I didn't have my raid group, I probably wouldn't have resubbed yet anyways.
So Jaina just shows the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere, blows down the walls, and it's a really good scenario. It's fun.
Jaina, when the walls fell.
But yeah, I saw, it's like, she looks like fucking Elsa.
Yeah, she's doing the full Elsa Frost Witch thing. She's got the braid and everything. She also, like, in the scene when the leaders are thinking they've got Sylvanas trapped, when Anduin mentions the burning of Teldrassil, like, in the background, Jaina's face is like, wait, what?
Well, yeah.
You know, that classic image of the woman looking very confused with the math symbols over it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone took zoomed in screenshot of Jaina's face doing that same thing with the overlays. Because, like, she's like, wait, they burned on Teldrassil? I just showed up to fuck shit up. I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here for the party. That was what I was wondering, if Jaina just literally showed up for the party.
Yeah, she just showed up for the party.
Okay, well, she resurrected her dad's sunken ship from the depths in her video. So, okay. Again, I'm watching the reactions via you and Sarah, and I keep up on, like, MMO Champion to see, like, what's going on. But beyond that, I've got other games to play.
Because we put out the like scenario where Sylvanas burns the world tree, and everybody was like, "What the fuck is this awful goddamn writing?" And then, pretty much immediately on the heels of that, they drop Old Soldier,
yeah,
which is the really good Sarfang.
Sarfang dealing
mini.
With a shitload of PTSD,
and then
and fresh loads of PTSD. For him participating in a genocide.
And then it chains on to destruction of Lordaeron Undercity.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so far it's a good ramp up to it. So, and everybody loves Zappy Boy.
Zappy Boy.
Which,
yeah.
The biggest comment is, like, that's like the first new troll or really new character. I mean, back in Warlords, we had Yrel and a couple of others that never came back, but especially Yrel.
Well, she came back in the Magar scenario, mm-hmm, as, like, a dictatorial murderer, zealot.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Yeah, so Yrel, you know, she was the goody two-shoes, like, chosen of the light for Warlords on the Alliance side.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Magar allied race thing, it's been 30 years for that version of Draenor, and Yrel has basically become a dictator and has either killed or converted all the orc clans on Draenor.
Where did that come out?
It's for the allied race thing for the Maghar orcs, the Draenor orcs.
I don't think that's hit yet. I at least not in...
I think it's coming with the expansion, but yeah, all the information's already out there.
Because now you can get the
High Mountain Tauren.
High Mountain Tauren and the elves. But you can't get that because it requires having honor with a race that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. But to get the Dark Iron Dwarves and Maghar Orcs, like, their scenario is them fleeing AU Draenor to come to current Azeroth because Yrel has become a dictator and has killed off most of the other clans.
Oh.
Yeah, so he became, like, a religious zealot. So that's fun. Like, we're reusing this character that people were kind of on, and, oh, wait, she's now, like...
I liked her.
Goat Hitler. Whoops. So... Video games, right? The expansion launches in a week, right? And I'm sure everybody would be real excited. Aren't they doing Kul'tiran humans as well? Like, they're the big bulky humans as a player race?
I only know of 3 and 3. I don't know of any of the Kul'tirans.
Yeah, because there's...
Void Elves, Dark Iron, and what is it on a line? Light...
Lightforged Draenei.
And then on Horde, you've got the orcs, you've got more elves, because you can't have enough elves, and the Moose Tauren.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they needed to get some night elf-looking fuckers for the Horde side, because...
And Nightborn.
The Nightborn, and then the Void Elves are Blood Elf models for the Alliance. So, you know, video games. I'm enjoying No Man's Sky, it's still really good.
Yeah, I've seen all the screen caps you've been posting.
Yep.
It does look pretty.
Like, today I discovered how you repaint all your shit, and now I have this really cool, like, purple and blue base.
Hmm.
And, like, I recolored my wood to look like varnished pine, you know? So it's like, you can do a lot of customization, But it's all preset color combos, so it's complementary colors, so you don't have like a green and purple or anything like that together. So that's been fun. It's still an exploration survival game. Like, the loop is pretty small, but it's also pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they added, remember the ship missions from Warlords?
Yeah.
They added basically that mission type into the game where you send out frigates and they do shit for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then if they come back damaged, you have to like climb around on them to repair them yourself with nonsense. And that takes a long time to do. It's a pain in the ass. All right. And we have like one or two more topics left because it's starting to storm here for the first time in a while. Which means...
Oh, I wanted to say something. I'd mentioned earlier the Big and Y'all store.
Uh-huh.
Well, the reason that came up was because I went to the Big and Tall store to buy a new pair of pants for work. Because my old pairs are starting to get kind of ratty.
Uh-huh.
So I can confirm I'm down a pant size.
Nice. Now.
That's cool.
Always a nice feeling.
Congrats.
Also, my belt has one hole left. I've cinched it.
All the way?
Almost nice. All the way. So like in another month or so, I'll either have to start poking holes in it or more likely go buy a new belt.
Yeah, I still have one of my like maximum length ones.
Yeah.
That has all the additional holes put into it. Because, yeah, it's a really nice feeling, though I did finally get rid of, like, we were doing some cleaning. Okay, so this is an anecdote, side anecdote of something that I had to do that mm-hmm. has a really dumb conclusion to it. So Panther's Sport Wagon, the car that I drove to Anthrocon,
yeah,
is basically under recall. And
oh, right,
they
yeah.
were like, you can get X amount of money and we'll repair it for you, or you can sell us back the car with its current mileage at X times three monies,
mm-hmm.
where X times three is $19,000.
Yeah.
And so we're like, see ya, fucker, to the car. But we hadn't found the title. And we searched and searched and searched and searched the house. So we did some cleaning in the meantime, and I donated like two bags of clothing and a box of stuff to MetroCrest Resale, which included my like size 54 pants that I had at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that even though we paid off the car in like 2012 or 2013,
mm-hmm.
they never canceled the lien and never sent us the paperwork. So even though we owed them no money, they still had a lien on the car. VW Credit had a lien and we're trying to sell it back to VW.
Right.
So it's been this bullshit circle of like getting people on the phone going, what the fuck? Get this signed. Now we have, and like they got the thing to the lien release and they scanned it and sent him a digital copy. But the state DMV is like, no, you have to have the physical copy. So now they have to like fucking expedite ship that shit to us so that he can get the title and or copy of the title. And then we can then immediately turn around, scan the title that we just paid to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can sell the car back to them for that money. So we did all this work to try to find this, and turns out that VW
you never had it in the first place.
Yeah, we never had it in the first
place. No wonder you didn't find it.
And VW Credit fucked up by never going, oh, they've paid this off entirely, and going, okay, cancel lien, here's the title. Just the dumbest thing.
Well, yeah. When we went to get our new car, we were trading in the Matrix. So we weren't sure. They told us, don't worry about it, we'll just pull the title. It's like, okay. Well, when they went to pull the title, the crappy company who financed us with were basically saying, no, there's no proof that they paid us off. They need us to give us the car back. Like, they tried to start to make noise about repoing our car.
That you paid off years ago.
That I paid off years ago. So, went for our own mad dash of title. So, similar to what you went to, except, you know, they actually started being shitheads to seize the car.
God damn.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad if I can't find my Matrix's title, I got that through my bank, which is a credit union
mm-hmm.
and is really reputable. So I know if I have to have them pull the title, they'll be able to look up that I paid it off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was a pain.
How'd you resolve that, Shiva? Did you find the title?
We've dug it up out of a box.
Because at the from least, when we moved. Like, you can look at your credit report and see you paid this mm-hmm. loan off. I'm like, I don't know how they could think that they would pull one over on you like that.
Those shitty they were awful credit agency. But yeah, they started to make go, whoa, whoa, whoa. We got no proof that they finished paying this off.
Yeah, like you didn't pay off a 12-year-old car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thankfully, we had every other single piece of documentation that, you know, relates to that car. But they just fucked up somewhere. A ball got dropped on their court. And so now we had to, like, get in under the wire because the buyback period ends at the end of this month.
Oh,
so
shit.
Do you guys decide what you're going to get instead?
Well, nothing already... right now.
Yeah.
Because we have the Mr. Two and we've got my car. So we don't really need three.
True.
Like, you know, I had this moment of feeling I am so fucking privileged the other day when, like, we have these neat little key things where pop them apart and, like, you can connect. Like, you have your house keys on one end, and then you have the other end that can be attached to a different key fob.
Yeah.
So it just is like, what key fob is on my car? I guess I'll take that one. You know?
Fucking well, Tony Stark's garage.
Yeah.
Over here.
Like, which one am I going to take? Well,
when we got the new car, we actually paid for a third fob, so we all have one. So we don't have to play musical car keys. I mean, we still have to for Sarah's car. There's only two fobs for it. But at least for the new CRV, everybody's got a fob. No one's got an excuse.
And just to be sure, like the two cars that we have right now are all like late model cars, a 2003 and a 2008. You know, these are not brand new cars by any stretch.
Doesn't late model imply that it's a recent car, though?
I don't know. I think, could be using the words wrong.
I think the term late model would mean like, oh, okay, one of your cars is like a 2016 or something.
Okay, so it's an old, they're all older models.
Yeah. We're going to need to buy a third car, probably a beater soon.
Is Sarah's getting old?
Yeah. No, Siam needs to
have a separate car
from
everybody else.
And then I'll go back to my normal schedule.
Right.
As opposed to getting home with 30 minutes to podcast or raid, depending on the night.
Right.
Because I get off work at 7, it's about 30 minutes home between walking out and getting in the car and leaving. So it's a bit of a stretch to get home, you know.
In time.
In time to do any evening things.
Because your regular schedule, you're off at like 6 or something, right?
Yeah, it's 5:30.
5:30, yeah, that's a lot more time.
Well, thankfully, like, at least today I was able to get in early and have everything set up. So once you finish eating, it's like, all right, let's podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was nice. It worked well.
It did. So the only other bit of news I had for this week is that AT&T has bought out Otter Media. And you're like, who the fuck is this? Well, Otter Media is the people that own Crunchyroll, VRV, Rooster Teeth, and the Full Screen YouTube Network.
What's VRV? That sounds familiar.
It's a streaming video content aggregator that it has a bunch of different channels. Like, it's $10 a month and you get access to X, Y, and Z, and it's got this slick website that's totally unusable. Basically, AT&T now owns the entirety of these things. I mean, it puts a lot of question marks in the air for anybody that watches anime or uses VRV, because AT&T now owns VRV, which until this point had a marketing deal with Funimation, which is owned by Warner Brothers. So you have completely opposing media pseudo-monopolies working that are, like, in this project together to aggregate their shit. So it'll be interesting to see if anything changes, but it also could mean that AT&T could be like, yo, Crunchyroll's not making enough bank anymore. Because they've already laid off all the developers for the website. It hasn't gotten any new features in years. It'll be interesting to see what happens if, like, they shut down Crunchyroll and put it all on VRV, or if they, like, roll things in other places. Because any time a giant corporate entity buys up a smaller corporate entity, or just buys up the controlling share, because, like, they already owned, like, 49% of it, and then they just bought out the rest. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, if anything. You know, AT&T is slowly getting the gang back together after the Ma Bell breakup of the 80s. So, you know, it's just one of those things. There's, oh no, a giant media conglomerate has purchased the thing that has essentially, well, largely revitalized anime in the West. So hopefully they don't fuck it up. I mean, thankfully we've got, well, you know, thankfully with an asterisk, there's like Amazon and Netflix getting the rights to things and putting them out there. So it's no longer like everything is through Crunchyroll, because there's also like High Dive and some other like streaming options.
But it always sucks when the media conglomerates keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Pretty soon we'll have Disney and they'll just own everything.
Mm-hmm. Like the Fox deal got approved last I heard.
Is that when they're buying back the rights to some of them?
They just flat out bought Fox.
Jesus.
Their entire movie side, which means that they have all the X-Men now. Yay. But that also means that like Disney has this basically every single giant media thing except Minions, maybe.
Because I was going to say, isn't that DreamWorks?
Yeah, DreamWorks is currently not owned by Disney, but give them time. We'll see what happens. It just makes me think also, we just watched Demolition Man for Fox and Wolf Movie Time.
Mm-hmm.
Ajax joined us for that. And, you know, remember the franchise wars?
Yeah, every restaurant is now Taco Bell.
They're the only ones that survive. You know, I really wonder how Taco Bell survives with not having salt or meat. But, you know, they made it work in their shiny dystopia. So that's actually going to be going up on our Patreon this week.
So for that, our little half bath, I want to get like 3 seashells and just put them on the wall.
Yes.
And see who gets them. Just a little thing that says three little metal seashells in like a plate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's the seashells for?
They don't know how to use 3 seashells. That was a fun movie. And, everybody involved seemed to be having a great time.
Who hadn't seen it?
I hadn't seen it.
Really?
So the whole gist of Fox and Wolf Movie Time is basically me being a cultural Luddite and having never seen a vast majority of popular 80s and 90s cinema. And actually, just a lot of popular cinema in general. Because so it's like, I haven't seen a lot of Schwarzenegger films. I've never seen RoboCop. I've never seen The Thing. Carpenter's The Thing.
Have you seen Oscar?
You gotta watch that. What was that show?
Have you seen Oscar with Stallone?
Nope.
I need to show you Oscar. It's also got Tim Curry in it.
Okay.
So, like, I've seen that.
Oh, it's good.
Rocky Horror Picture Show until like a decade ago. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of films that I've never, ever seen. And Fuzz happens to have a very large video collection, plus we have the internet and Hulu and Netflix and Amazon, etc. So we can sit down and watch. Like, I've never seen Nightmare on Elm Street. I've never seen the original Jason films. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I've just never seen. So that's what the Fox and Wolf Movie Time series is, and it is currently a Patreon exclusive. Go to patreon.com/southpodcast and give us a buck per episode or so, and you get at least 2-3 extra episodes a month. I'm going to put up one of our earlier recordings on the feed this week so that people get a taste of the types of riveting conversations that Fuzz and I have, and occasionally Ajax, where we go, what the fuck? And talk. And a lot of it's also like movies, because, you know, the far future of 2048. But the movie starts, Demolition Man starts in the dark, grim future of 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And talks about the big one of 2010.
Yep, that took out L.A.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, we had other films like Event Horizon, which talks about how in 2019 or so we had moon bases. Blade Runner takes place in 2019.
Yeah.
They don't have that arcology built yet.
I walked out of 3 movies.
Uh-huh.
One was Event Horizon, one was Passion of the Christ, and that both times it wasn't me. That was Siam, because the squick factor was too high for him.
Blood, yeah.
Lots. Yeah, and the last one was Batman and Robin, because it was awful.
I used to see you. You know,
I think Batman and Robin just for the cheese factor and the terrible puns, but, you know, that's me.
But, yeah.
Why'd you walk out of Passion of the Christ?
Gore. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the one where
Jesus Chainsaw Massacre.
It's the one where he's slapping himself on the back with like and flagellating his back with like
he was being whipped.
Yeah.
By the Romans, and it's the big flail flog things with the razors embedded in it.
Yeah. Like, Siam started getting really queasy, so we walked out.
A couple interesting stories about that. In order to do that scene, the actor Jim Caviezel was wearing a plate on his back that was made to look like flesh.
And one missed
and got under the plate and really whipped him. He probably has a scar. And apparently he looked at the guy and said, don't do that again, and then passed out. During the crucifixion scene, he got struck by lightning. So, like, he went through, like, an actual Like, he's super religious in real life, so it's kind of funny. But, yeah, he went through, like, a couple actual Jesus moments in that. And his initials are JC. Ooh, Jim Caviezel. But the reason I went to see Passion of the Christ was because my mom had the hots for Jim Caviezel. So, for a totally deep religious experience there, you know. And at the end of the movie, as the credits are rolling, my mom leans over to me and says, I hear it's based on a book.
I went with a bunch of basically non-religious folks who just kind of went to see the spectacle. And right. just we couldn't. So we left. Event Horizon again was very
the not disemboweling. Oh, what is it?
It was just, but the scene
there was
the
more hooks way. And
yeah.
And Siam nope the fuck out, and I went with
apparently the actor that played that role kept the prop mannequin they made of his body with the hooks and the chest and everything opened up because he thought it was cool.
And I'm sure it is cool, but with the lighting and the visceral, it's like, oh.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
No, that
movie stuck with me a while after I first saw it. And it is a movie I enjoy, but yeah, it's if you're not quite ready for it.
Yeah, we were expecting sci-fi for that. We didn't realize that it also had
sci-fi
like,
horror.
Yeah, we didn't realize of like the Hellraiser level of, if not more than Hellraiser level of squick mm-hmm. involved, or else we never would have gone. But we thought it was just flat sci-fi, you know, space sci-fi, which is right up on our thing, and we did not realize it was horror. So yeah, that caught us completely off guard. But yeah, for just awful movies, the only one I've ever walked out of is Batman and Robin, because then we theater hopped to go see like Tarzan. It was Tarzan or another one, but yeah, we just was like, this is awful. We looked at it's like Tarzan started 5 minutes ago, do you want to go? So we went and saw that.
The only movie I remember walking out of was one called Hard Candy, which is about a young woman who basically lures in pedophiles and then scares the shit out of them, or like reverse tortures them basically. Mm-hmm. And there was a scene most of the way into the film where it's basically she's about to castrate this guy. Like, she's got him tied down. She's got the scalpel and everything like that. It's getting closer and closer. And I don't know if it's going to be a fake out, like she's going to not cut his balls off. But I was starting to feel like lightheaded because it was a really tensely made scene. And I was like, I need to leave the theater. This is too much for me.
There was a scene in the most recent iteration of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo that about made me nope out.
The rape scene?
Yeah.
I've heard that's really, really visceral.
Like, I told Panther, hey, I'm not watching that movie with you ever again.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I don't blame you. So, anyways, that's about it. You know, movies, Fuzz and I get together as we can to watch some stuff. We rope Ajax into it if he's around and wants to watch The Thing with us.
Yeah. The Thing is good. I like The Thing.
It is. Well, what's really impressive about it?
The Thing being a movie, but yes, The Thing is also on the list.
What's really impressive about it is that, and you'll see, it is a very gory movie, and it has very gory effects. And when you realize, you're like, oh,
this it's also really campy in places, too.
What I was going to say was, this is made in the mid-80s. It's all physical effects. It's none of it's CG or super high-tech, and like, they clearly had like really good effects people on that movie because it all looks fucking amazing. And I watched it as recently as like 2 or 3 years ago, and I was like, shit, this still holds up like really well.
Did they remake or do a sequel sometime recently?
They did a prequel.
Was it any good?
It was okay.
Not as good as The Thing?
No. I mean, it was like, the thing is like, oh, this is really cool. What an amazing job, you know, and, you know, just everything about it. But whenever they try to pick something up like that, what a remake or a sequel, it's like, it was just another horror movie, as opposed to, it didn't really make a, a splash. It's not going to be remembered in the same way that the 80s version, which is actually a remake of a 50s film, which I didn't know for a long time.
I think I saw a bit of the... I think the remake of the 50s film was even better. The 50s films was decent, but the like remake, I think, was even better. Cause
it absolutely was, yeah. You have to specify John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the version I'd be showing Saverin. I haven't seen the 50s one myself.
I saw it like years ago, but I had seen the John Carpenter's version first, and it's like, yeah, this is good, but I like the remake better.
Yeah.
It was solid and good and creepy as fuck in places.
All right. So we are now past an hour 15 and we should wrap it up because it is now 10 o'clock and it is storming outside. So
yes,
you can find us on Twitter at South Podcast. You can find me on everything at South Podcast, essentially. Find us on Patreon. Find us on Twitter, southpodcast@gmail.com. Find us South Podcast on tumblr.com. You can find me at Saverin Drake on Twitter, at Saverin on Twitch.
You can find me at Fuzzwolf on Twitter, where I'm fairly active. You can go to fuzzwolf.com. There are links there to all the stuff I'm doing. For planet.com for all your furry book, comic, and art needs. And we will have tables at conventions starting next weekend for 3 weekends in a row.
God help you.
So if you're going to be at Worldcon, not this weekend, but next, or Denver the weekend after that, or Method Fermi the weekend after that, I'll be at two of those, but for Planet in some form, we'll be at all three of them. So come and buy some books and stuff.
Yay.
You can find me on Twitter or Telegram as Chimera. Shiva is unfortunately a very common name. And it's Khymaera. That's most likely place to find me these days.
On that note, good night.
And big books.
And remember, Ska will never die, but you will.